item number two is from the Director, Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture, submitting an informational report regarding the American Transmission Company, LLC's Western Milwaukee County Electric Reliability Project. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Chair.
Director Black.
Chairman, supervisors, I have asked ATC to come and give a presentation to us to discuss process and the project itself. But aside from the project, I just want to say one thing, and that I'm so proud of the leadership of that school for bringing those kids in and what just happened there. And what you said about the environmental leaders of the future, I was looking at potentially one of the new parks directors in the future sitting right there. But at the same time, I just hope that the process and how this happens, that when those kids look back, when this is all said and done, that they're proud of the public process and their involvement in it. And I think that's what I'm most concerned about, is how this all is going to play out, and then at the end of the day, that those kids feel like what they said was really heard.
Thank you. Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Pete Holtz. I work for American Transmission Company. What Mary Carpenter is handing out is a summary of some of the information that I'll present in the next few minutes. It includes a map of the routes that we considered, the myriad of routes that we looked at, and some fact sheets and some other information. What I will do is, first of all, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you, for Director Black, for inviting us. I will talk about the process, and I'll talk a little bit about the lines and what we went into deciding on where we went. I'll be glad to answer any questions that people may have at the end. Basically, what I'll talk about is the development of utility projects in general and how they're reviewed by the Public Service Commission, what the roles of the people that are involved, what they can do and how it works. The need for this project, I think it is fairly straightforward. The description, the overview of the routes that people have been commenting upon, talk about this process as it moves forward with regard to the Public Service Commission, what the basic timetable is with regard to that, and then how people can get involved. Basically, ATC, technical glitch, but basically ATC is responsible for the electric transmission lines in the state, the high voltage power, owning, operating, maintaining, and building those. We serve as, I would guess, the connector between the generating plants and the distribution systems. Our customers are Wisconsin We Energies, Madison Gas Electric, Alliant Energy, the major utilities in the state, and the municipalities in the state. So we serve as the, I guess I'd call it the freeway system that connects those, the generation to the end-use customers. And then they serve as the off-ramp that gets the electricity to your house. We've been in operation since 2000. We were formed by state legislation in 1999, and we actually went online January 1st, 2001. We've been operating since then. During that time, we've basically built about 1,500 miles of transmission line or rebuilt them. We started out at about $500 million company. We're now about $3 billion company. We've done a lot of work in the state. We basically, our service territory is shown in that map. Basically, the two-thirds of the state to the east, plus most of the Upper Peninsula, plus a little bit in Illinois and a little bit in Minnesota. Basically, I already went through most of this, so I won't repeat it, but we did start this process. Actually, it started about 2.5 years ago. We Energies approached us and said, we need more power in this area, the Western Milwaukee County area, to deal with the growth that's been occurring there. And it's not just the regional medical complex, but it's also the entire area, Innovation Park, the UWM plants that are in there, and the other things that come along with that. They approached us. As our customer, we had to respond to that. The solution that was desired by them and the one that made the most sense was to develop a transmission line into the area. Then when they looked at it further, We Energies came back and said, currently, we are now serving the medical complex, the two level one trauma centers at that location with dual feed. We need to have two feeds from the sources into the new substation that we're building so that we can maintain that reliability. That's why we are proposing two routes, and then consistent with what the Public Service Commission requests, we have showed alternatives to those routes. Those are shown on the maps, and I'll go through those in a minute. Basically, as you've heard today, everybody has a can get involved in the process as it moves forward. The Public Service Commission ultimately makes the decision with regard to where the line is located and how it's constructed. Basically, our role, the role of We Energies, is to justify the need for the project, demonstrate that that we have looked at a number of solutions, explored the alternatives, gotten public impact, public input, understood what that is, tried to incorporate it into the plans that we have, document all the comments that we received, and we have received a lot, and then prepare an application to the Public Service Commission, then present that to them. We have held a number of public open houses, have received many, many comments that will be filed with our application when we send it in the middle of February. The public, obviously you've seen the public getting involved. They've been involved throughout the whole process. They will continue to be involved, I'm sure. They have asked questions. We've responded to those questions. They will have their chance to talk to the Public Service Commission in public hearings, which they'll hold sometime probably late spring or early summer. The Public Service Commission obviously has the responsibility to review all the input that they receive, look at the technical data, look at the public comments, take that all into consideration. They will hold technical hearings. They will also hold public hearings in the area. They'll look at that, at all the input they have, and ultimately they'll render a decision which will result in a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, a CPCN. That's the order that would come to us. They will say, build the route here and here, and then we're obliged to do that. We will work with the landowners, obviously, to put that in place. What's being proposed? Unlike what the news media is represented, this is a 2.2, not a 22-mile line. It's 138,000 volts, which will connect two power sources, independent power sources, into a new substation that will be built behind the existing power plant on Watertown Plank. Basically, this is looks a little bit like spaghetti thrown on a map, but this is really part of the process that we began over a year and a half ago looking at alternative routes. This is just basically a summation, but there are other routes that we looked at beyond this. But we did look at a lot of different routes. We looked at the things we looked at were impacts on people, impacts on the environment. We looked at trying to locate around existing infrastructure, be it railroads, highways, roadways, so that we were not creating additional impacts on people. Tried to co-locate along those lines. We also had to look at constructability issues. Can it be built in certain areas? Some places it cannot. And then the costs associated with that. What we came down to is shown on your map. It's in front of you. And I'll go through it quickly, but there's the A route on the north. It says A route, Walnut Road. That actually starts, let me point it out.
The two power sources are, there's an existing 138,000 volt line that runs along 119th Street, north and south. There's three circuits there. That's one power source that we use. Then there's a substation down in the northeast corner of the water, of the zoo interchange. That would be the other source that we would connect up to.
Again, we're gonna have two lines, likely one from each of those sources. The Walnut Road route starts out underground along that residential development between 120th Street and then the Wauwatosa Administrative Buildings, the police station that's on 116th. It would then go overhead across the railroad tracks across Highway 100 and then turn south, running parallel to Highway 100 and the railroad. It would stay away from the DNR rechanneled creek, Underwood Creek, along that area. It would then go to the east behind the existing county garage buildings, the sheriff's department, pass over US 45, and then run south, I guess it would be southeast, overhead down to Watertown Plank, down Watertown Plank, and up into the substation behind the power plant. The second route, the B route, is the Underwood Creek Parkway, Underwood Parkway route. We originally proposed that to be the north side of the railroad tracks, so the north side of the creek. It would be basically behind that, behind the screening that exists on the parkway. The DNR came to us and said they're not sure they would permit it there. Since we needed to have a route from the west and two routes, we did change that and show it running on the parkway itself. When we take this to the Public Service Commission, we are going to advocate for the northern route, the original route that's north side of the railroad tracks. We would co-locate the line close to the railroad tracks to minimize the impact on both the wetlands and the tree clearing that would have to occur. That line would move to the northwest or northeast, would go along the existing county bike path, going up past Watertown Plank, go further north along north of Watertown Plank, go overhead behind the sheriff's department, the garage buildings. Again, this route would go overhead across the US 45 and could either go overhead or underground through the UWM development. One point to consider, because of the reliability issues, one of these lines will come into the area overhead and one will come in underground so that you don't have one point of failure, such as all the wires on one line or one set of structures. So one likely will be underground and one will be overhead when it comes into that substation. A variation on this that we've worked with the DOT on is this route would come up the bike path, and when it got to Watertown Plank, DOT, we're working with DOT right now, to see if it could be undergrounded in Watertown Plank when they do the refurbishment of that in 2013 and 2014. So we are actually actively looking at that. That was one of the pieces of input we did receive from people, and DOT did come back to us and say they would work with us to have that done, or at least to consider it, to see if it could work. The third route is the one you've heard about 95th Street. Again, we listened to the people at Montessori School. We're proposing two routes from there. One is an overhead route. We took it out from in front of the school and worked with DOT again and have it going down to the right-of-way of US 45 when that's being reconstructed. It would go overhead along as close as possible to the freeway and go to Watertown Plank and then go into the substation as well. The other variation on that would be we did show a route that's underground that would go in 95th Street, the road itself. It is constructible there. It would go in front of the school, but it would be underground. That would continue up. It could go all the way into the power plant underground, or it could change to overhead at some point, depending on making sure that we have the reliability quotient met in terms of one line being underground and one line being overhead. That line could also go overhead down 45, and then as it gets closer to the MRMC property, could go underground if that was necessary because the other line was coming in overhead. So there are a number of variations here. The last route is 92nd Street, and because of the proximity of residences there, that would be an all-underground line. Any questions about those routes? These will all be in our application.
By committee members? Supervisor Jerzyk?
This project really is to serve this region, but ATC has done a lot of work throughout the state of Wisconsin to refurbish the existing transmission lines and make sure that there is sufficient power and access. The region for this line, it's basically I would call I-94 corridor on the south, 120th Street on the west. The northern boundary would be, I would say, North Avenue. And the east is basically the medical complex for this project. It's basically serving that western Milwaukee County area.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Other questions? And Mr. Wolf by committee. Director Black?
Chairman, supervisors, I don't think that this is appropriate, so stop me. But we have asked all of these questions. We've sat down through many different meetings, and I have had many different questions about the different routes and proposals. And just so that you know, that we sent a letter on August 28th expressing our concerns on that. And if I can just read a quick excerpt of that. I think you have copies of it. But it basically says that, to Ms. Carpenter, we are opposed to any overhead towers and underground facilities on Milwaukee County parkland, parkways, or trails. We received correspondence back on September 28th that discussed, and I guess the thesis of it is, you know, we will keep you, be assured that your comments will be included with the documentation that accompanies our application to the PCS. And then I sent another letter back on November 7th expressing even more concerns and just questions about different corridors. And the third paragraph, it says, we are questioning why a proposed route that uses the entire Watertown plant corridor from Wee Energies is not being considered. And when you look at your last map on there, that was one of the routes where you have your spaghetti.
Yep.
If you look at Watertown Plank, that goes all the way to that 119th Street, and I don't know if we want to get into all the technical, but those are, just so that you know, a lot of those questions on routes, that when we've been sitting with them, that we've asked many of those. A couple of other questions, that whether we answer them now or down the road, but what is the criteria that's going to be used in selecting the final route? And will there be an EA, an environmental assessment done on all of the alternatives or just the routes that are selected? Are you going to select the two and then do the EA? Or are you going to do an EA on all of them? Have we really looked at any of and all of those other those routes, and are they off the table? Having said that, I have one more question. When you said that the DNR, that you're going to advocate for the corridor that would be north of that railroad track, that the DNR said no, does that mean that you've already made up your mind on that corridor?
No. Let me go through a series of questions. My understanding, the Public Service Commission will do an EA on the entire project, which will incorporate these routes. Also, the routes that we looked at, the various routes that we did look at, will be reviewed. That information will be contained in our application as to why those were not selected. Generally, what we looked at, as I said earlier, what are the impacts on people, the environment, the location, trying to locate them along existing routes, are they constructible, and what are the costs? It's a very difficult task, I must say, trying to route two transmission lines in a highly developed, urbanized area. We did try to stay as far away from people as we could, but quite frankly, in the end, it became very difficult not to have some impact on people. But we did make our best attempts to do that. Specifically with regard to the Watertown Plank Road route, if you want to talk about it, east or west of Highway 100, that area, we do have to have transition structures from the overhead line to the underground line. That requires a considerable amount of space. There is no space there to do that. In addition to that, to get underneath that overpass, the Watertown Plank overpass, the two railroad tracks, the Underwood Creek that's there, made constructability very difficult and very costly. So we felt there were other alternative routes that were better than that, so we rejected it at that time. Again, that could be reconsidered by the Public Service Commission in that process.
To go under those railroad tracks.
Right. Be very difficult to get underneath those and get deep enough underneath the creek not to have problems with line in the future.
Supervisor Harris, you had a question?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this might be along the lines of Director Black's question, because I'm still wrapping my head around this, even though I got the packet ahead of time and tried to read through this and really understand it. And I think that with the young people coming today and having all the testimonies, it really, really helped me to really understand what you are trying to do. But I'm really curious to know, will there ever be a time that we will not have overhead lines? Will that ever
I guess, quite frankly, I don't, the cost impact, I think somebody said 5 to 7 times, that's at this voltage. You could get as high as 10 times as much. Put them underground. That really becomes, people make their case for that either way. That's something that the Public Service Commission will decide. I don't envision the existing lines that are already out there being buried at any point in the future, just because the cost impact would be very prohibitive. Does that respond to the question, or does that help?
It helps. Thank you,
Supervisor Schmidt.
Just briefly on the alternative routes, and to make a point from the parks, and I will try to be brief. I know this has been long. I appreciate all this. It's a very important issue, obviously. I do appreciate the fact that Wee Energies and ATC has to make these kind of preliminary decisions. We do need the power. There's no question about that. It's a difficult situation. I appreciate that. But I think they're hearing, and I hope they can advocate for us too, that there are alternatives here. There are ways to look at this, and it's only not just about economics all the time. I know that's a consideration, but the environment and the other effects we've talked about, I think have to weigh very heavily too. I'm very happy to hear, and I want to encourage everybody listening, that when the next fight is the PSC, that they have their job to do. They're going to, you know, they've done what they need to do. But we oppose their option here, and we oppose the neighborhoods and having overhead lines. That's the reality of it, and we're enjoined in that. We have to speak as a community to this point. I think they appreciate that too. So the sharing the information why they took the alternative route out, the Watertown plan ground seems to me as a really a viable alternative. To come down, they're going to have terrific, I think, public support to do it underground east of Highway 100, all through Watertown Plank. Okay, I think the saying arguments for that can be made going west too. I know the difficulty with the bridge and other things, but these things can be worked out. If they go overhead in this area, if there's the creek bed, and you've got the cranes coming in and stuff like that, and there's difficulties with doing overhead too. So I'm just encouraged to hear, and I encourage everyone, and I thank the board, the committee for their support today. But the fight will continue, and we want to look at these alternatives and make sure everybody's voice is heard. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there further questions, my committee members? If there are none, Mr. Holtz, I have one question. You've characterized ATC's position as being obliged to follow the directives of the Public Service Commission without describing what role you might play in shaping the alternatives that they're acting on. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Certainly. When we propose this line and the alternatives, we will provide all the information about the impacts, the costs, all the other information for all these alternatives plus other ones that were looked at. Basically, our role is to propose a route that we believe can be built. And looking at the technical impacts, the technical solutions, that being overhead or underground, we try to take those into account. We also look at what the Public Service Commission has approved in the past. Quite frankly, we have other projects we need to get approved, so we will support those things that we believe are viable alternatives. We're not expressing a preference for any of these routes in this because each one of them has an impact on somebody. We're basically providing the facts with regard to it for the Public Service Commission to decide.
So ultimately, you're not in a position of making a recommendation to the Public Service Commission?
We will make some recommendations as to the combinations of routes that will meet the criteria of the reliability criteria, some of the cost criteria. We can't have an overhead and two overhead lines going in together. A number of those combinations will be expressed as preferences, but there certainly are other alternatives that could be reviewed and looked at.
Well, it certainly sounds like that recommendation is something that would have considerable influence on the decision ultimately made by the Public Service Commission.
Correct.
And that recommendation could, if your company chose to, express a bias based on cost rather than public opinion and so on.
It will. Cost is one of the major criteria that we look at.
Well, we have tried to stress the public opinion aspect.
We have.
Well,
I understand. I have experienced it before, and I'm sure I will experience it again. I mean, it really is the impacts on people, the constructability, the cost. What does it look like? It can technically be done.
Good. Well, this item is informational. There's no need for committee action on it. We thank you for your presentation, Mr.
Could Holmes. I just
something you'd like to add?
Just one. I'd like one little thing. I would like to add. Basically, these are 60 to 100 foot single pole structures. It'll take a right of way of about 70 feet. So it's not the lattice work, the erector set towers that are out there now. It's much smaller impact. But the other thing is that we will be providing our application to the Public Service Commission in February next month. They will begin the regulatory process throughout the remainder of 2012, and they will hold public and technical hearings probably in the spring or summer of this year. We expect an order from them at the end of this year, early 2013. That will tell us where the routes are, what they approve, and where it's going to go. And then we'll begin construction 2013 and 14, and then have it done in 2015.
Director Black?
Chairman, Supervisors, with the next steps, and that's February of 12, is that report already written in draft form?
We have not completed the draft. It is in process right now. And that will be shared with everybody at the same time. It will be published on the commission website, and we will make copies available if people are interested.
Thank you very much for your presentation today. As I indicated, this is an informational item. There's no need for committee action. And in the interest of time, having not anticipated quite the turnout that we had today, I'm going to move on to item number 10. In consideration of the schedules of some of the folks who are here with us today